about teaching on how to be led by the Spirit, and it ended up being a study guide. And my intent was teaching it in the Bible college, which we have done. And I took it before the Lord, and He told me that He didn't give it to me for one segment of people, but it was to be given to all those over whom I had influence. And so what I'm going to do is we will not finish this in one setting, I can tell you that. But I'm going to share with you what I feel like the Lord has shown me over a period of time. And I'll preface all that by saying we have a long way to go. That I in no way profess to you that I'm the great authority on being led by the Spirit. But I will tell you this, I know more than I used to. Okay? And we hit it some. Thank God, okay? So in Romans, and what we would use this for basically our foundation for the teaching is Romans 8:14. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God." Now, you can just read over that and not give a lot of thought to it. But I would recommend meditating on that one scripture. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So what if you're not led by the Spirit of God? Whose sons are you? There's something to think about. You can fill in the blank, okay? Then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and this is a command, not a suggestion. "For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So that's a command, right? So then walking in the Spirit is actually a mandate on the believers. And it's an interesting thing because it's something that we haven't put great emphasis upon. We talk about the Spirit moving on a service and things of that nature. But how about the Spirit guiding your life every day, all day long, that you're being led by the Spirit? See, this is what governed Jesus' life. He didn't do anything independently of the Father. "I always do what I see my Father do. I make my decisions. Or I judge by what I hear. I make my decisions." Okay? So He's always in tune with the Father. That's why He didn't miss it. You want to hit it every time? We'll have to follow that pattern, right? I believe that walking in the Spirit is very attainable. Okay? And I think the way that it's been presented, for the most part, has been like it's just for special people who God has this special favor on, and their feet don't touch the ground and all that type of stuff, which nothing could be farther from the truth. The mandate is for all of us to be led by the Spirit. And in John 16:13, Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, said, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you into all truth, because He will speak. He will not speak of Himself. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will show you things to come." Now, just look at that very closely. He will do what? Lead, right? He will lead you into what? All truth. If I'm in all truth, I won't be in error. So you cannot get in error being led by the Spirit of God. That's an absolute. So if we get in error, and there's so many teachings out there that you can't count them, and so many erroneous teachings, because people aren't led by the Spirit. Listen, when you study the Word of God and you start presenting things for God, you need to know that God believes what you believe. And I can tell you a lot of stuff that's going out there, God doesn't believe it. And yet it's being presented in the name of God. And so I ask myself from time to time, does God believe what I believe? If not, I need to change my belief, because He's not. He's right. You understand? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about the body of Christ now, are to be led by the Spirit. And yet I believe few people understand the concept of being led by the Spirit. And when I say concept, I'm talking about what's involved in being led by the Spirit, not just some phrase. And hopefully this teaching is going to give us greater insight into being led by the Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit. It's one thing for me to stand here and say, be led by the Spirit. It's another thing for me to say, to teach how to be led by the Spirit. God doesn't give us a mandate without giving us instruction. He doesn't just say, be led by the Spirit. But by the Scriptures, He gives us the instruction, the insight into what it takes to be led by the Spirit, how we can be led by the Spirit. Now, here's something that people miss. When you're born naturally, there is, from the time you're born, you're trained, right? You have to be, your parents, I hope, someone has to teach you how to feed yourself, how to go to the bathroom, how to do just basic fundamental things, natural training. Well, it's no different in the Spirit. People need to be taught how to feed themselves. You understand? The basic fundamentals of spiritual truths, how to approach the Word of God, how to study the Word of God, and to understand that the Scriptures are the infallible Word of God. And so they're not up for argument. That means I need to study to understand. And so many people build their own little doctrines and opinions, and they become dogmatic, and then they want to argue the Word of God rather than learn the Word of God. Now, I'd rather learn it, and I'd rather for the Spirit to teach me. So that means I have to be trained by the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit does not come naturally. A lot of people think that when you're born again, well, you know, that's the thing. You've got it, and now you go that direction. No, your spirit's born again, but your mind wasn't. And your mind still has that old programming of the old nature, so guess what's going to happen? If you don't renew the mind with the Word of God, it's going to revert back to the old thinking, which is not the will of God. It's not led by Spirit. It's led by reason. And I venture to say that most church attenders are led by reason, not by the Spirit of God. And God wants that changed. Being led by the Spirit's a discipline. It's not automatic. I mean, you must discipline yourself to listen to the Spirit of God. If you don't, you won't even know God spoke. And so you have to pay attention. Disciplines are learned through instruction. Any discipline. Right? It's learned through instruction. Precept, You're instructed to put it into practice. You see, this is a lost art in today's society. My parents were disciplinarians. They taught me, and I better put it into practice. If I didn't, believe me, there was a consequence that you remember now. I should have done what Daddy said. I could have avoided some pain. If we do what the Father says, we could avoid some pain. And it's not because the Father's inflicting pain. He's trying to keep us from it. It would be like me saying, don't touch that hot stove, and you touch it, and you get burnt. Did I burn you? And see, a lot of people want to blame God. Well, God burned me. You know, I touched the stove. God burned me. No, God told you not to because He knew what the consequence would be. So don't blame it on God. It's your own stupidity or rebellion or whatever. Okay, so go ahead and take responsibility. True disciples are produced by spiritual training. You know, when Jesus gave the commission, He didn't say, go into all the world and get people born again. Did He? He said, go into all the world and make disciples. You can get people born again and leave them to die. You know, a person can give birth to a baby, but there's responsibilities that come after the birth. That baby has to be nurtured and brought up and cared for. Well, so it is with spiritual children. It's not enough to get a person born again, but train the person. This really is what discipling is training people to where they grow up spiritually to be able to walk on their own two spiritual feet, if you will. Okay? How many of you, when you got born again just like that, you knew the will and ways of God? And see, I hear people say often, well, you never can know the will of God. Well, you could if you'd read it. You see, they want to use that as an excuse. You have to be trained in knowing the will of God. Well, this is the will of God. Sovereign God recorded His will. And it doesn't in any way refute the sovereignty of God. It substantiates the sovereignty of God. It's just like you writing out a will. You have the sovereign right to write a will, but when you write that will, that's a legal document, and if you pass on, then that document is executed the way you willed it. Right? This is the will of God. And we need to understand that to the point that we get in and read it and learn the ways of God. Not only the will of God, but the ways of God. And incidentally, God is spiritual. He's a spiritual being. John 4:24 says God is spirit. But isn't it interesting how most people, in their attempt to approach God, and I'm talking about Christian, tongue-talking people, the whole ball of wax, try to approach God naturally. God's spirit. If I'm going to communicate with God, it'll have to be from the innermost being. Now, that doesn't mean I don't talk out loud or I can't talk out loud. But I can do all the talking in the world. If it's not coming out of my heart, it's not spirit-to-spirit communication. You with me? Okay. So, we need to learn who we are. Did you know that you're a spiritual being? See, most people mentally assent to that. But they don't know it to the point that they conduct their lives as a spiritual being. Most people conduct their lives as natural human beings. They're locked into the natural arena. It's that they're controlled by reason. They're controlled by circumstances. They're controlled by the dictates of the world. And what's going on externally is what they're guided by. And I could say a whole lot about that, but let it just suffice for me to put it this way. Your life's not to be led by your senses or by circumstances. Those are external things. Your senses are picking up from external things, okay? That's not how your life is to be led. Alright? You're a spirit. God's a spirit. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. Okay? Now, the beauty of all this is He comes to live in us. So we have a built-in, if you will, God. One that's in us. You're talking about GPS to the maximum. We have Him in us if we pay attention. I just went with someone somewhere just a couple weeks ago. Had the GPS on, punched in where we were going. And the GPS says, turn right here. No, that's not the way, is what this person said. And that's what people do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you gives you promptings, gives you checks, and you don't listen to it, so you miss the turn. And you can fuss all you want to, and you can blame anyone you want to, but the reason you didn't get where you should be is because you did not follow the instruction. Happens all the time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he tells us there's an inward man and an outward man. For though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man's renewed day by day. So there's an inward man and there's an outward man. Now, the inward man, obviously, is a spiritual being. You don't see me. So you thought you were looking at me. You're not looking at me. You don't see me. Most people don't even know me. Oh, I know him. They don't know me. They know about some things about me, but they don't really know me. You see, that's the way it is with most Christians and God. They don't really know God. They know things about God. The only way you're going to know God is by the Spirit. Not by natural understanding. It's an impossibility. So, the outward person, what you're looking at, is natural, not spiritual. So you make a choice. You can hear me naturally. Then you just hear natural talk, or you can hear by the Spirit. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Not what the natural man saith. Let him hear what the Spirit saith. And probably most people that make any comment about the service walk out and tell you what the preacher said. Very few of them talk about what the Spirit of God said. And believe it or not, God uses people like me to speak through. Isn't that amazing? But that's what how He's chosen to communicate. Through the body of Christ. From the time you were born, you were subjected to a natural environment. You were trained to follow a natural environment. Right? If it's cold outside, you're told to get a coat. Mama's cold, put on a coat. You know. you understand where I'm coming from. We're taught to be in tune with the natural environment. If it feels good, go for it. If it doesn't feel good, don't go for it. And then we develop this mentality, if it feels good, do it, which could be farther from the truth. Okay? But you're programmed to the natural. Everything going on around you is natural. And people watch this little square tube in their house that's giving them all this natural, some of you catch on to that tomorrow, giving you all this natural information. A lot of it may be spiritual, demonic. Okay? But it's appealing to the natural. And so we're programmed that way. Well, we have to be programmed to listen to the Spirit. Because if all you subject yourself to is natural training, you will be limited to the natural as far as operation. You will be led by the natural and not by the Spirit. And I will be quick to tell you that the Spirit of God will defy natural reasoning. God is not reasonable. He's so superior to reason. If you follow reason, you'll miss God. Just be pretty sure of that when I'm talking about decisions and things of this nature. That's why being led by the Spirit is so foreign to the average person. Because they're told, you should do this, you should do that. You know, just from the time I've been in ministry, if I had listened to suggestions of people, I would have missed God a million miles. You know, there's offers out there. There's invitations out there. I had a good friend of mine to really try to get me to relocate. Two of them, as a matter of fact, tried to get me to relocate. I said, I would have to disobey God to do that. And I'm not going to do it. You better listen in here, because out here it looks good. They can offer you a lot out here, and the sad part of it, is too many ministers are following the bait. How much do they pay? Who cares? Did God send you there or did He not? Listen, if God hasn't spoke to your heart, I don't care if they offer you $1 million a week, you're about to miss God. And will you sell your soul? What will it gain you? This being led by the Spirit is serious. And it's not just for preachers, it's for everybody. You better know who you are and quit trying to feed this external man and give this external man what he wants and satisfy self and go ahead and do what he's told you to do with self in the first place. That's crucify. I have been crucified with Christ. You know what crucifixion does? It kills a person. People talk about, well, this is my cross to bear. The cross kills you, buddy. You might as well just go ahead and get that settled right now and understand that we're to die so Christ can live. Okay? So then if I'm dead to self, the natural world is not what's appealing to me. If it's the life of Jesus, as Galatians 2:20 speaks, if it's the life of Jesus that's being lived through me, what's going to appeal to that life is spiritual things, God things. Your spirit will the born-again spirit will gravitate toward God. That's the nature of God. You'll go toward those things. That's the nature. But if flesh is still alive, and how is that still alive? It's because the mind has not been reprogrammed. It's not been born again. It's not going to be born again. It can be saved. James 1:21, with desire with meekness, engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Reprogramming the mind. That's, if you look at the root of that word, metamorpho, it's actually talking about, where we get the word metamorphosis, it's talking about progressively changing. Just as you naturally learned in a progressive state, you spiritually learn in a progressive state. You don't start in grade 12 naturally, and you don't start there spiritually. You learn as you go. But you know how you learn? How did you learn to write? By listening? Come on. No, you didn't. You didn't learn by listening. You put the pencil in your hand, and it looked like a mess when you began. Didn't it? For me, it did. You understand? But you know what? The more you practice, and the more you pay attention, the more diligent you become, the more legible your writing is. You become proficient. It's the same way with the things of the Spirit. So when you step out, you're probably going to make your blunders. Get up. Don't wallow in self-pity. Don't get into condemnation. Learn from your mistakes. Now, don't repeat them. Okay? But you just as you learn progressively the natural things, you learn progressively the spiritual things. You're not going to just sit down and read this Bible in a short period of time. Well, I've read the Bible through, I know it. You've already forgot what you started with. This is daily bread. Daily, 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 daily. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you have to feed yourself daily. And he's talking about just as you feed yourself naturally, you feed yourself spiritually. Don't dare answer this. But how would you be physically if you fed your body in proportion, if it was proportionate to how you feed yourself spiritually? There would be no obese people. You with me? God wants us to feed on the Word of God. And the thing about this is you never get too much, and it never has an ill effect on you. You never get bogged down by feeding on the Word of God. Okay? It keeps your spirit built up. It keeps your spirit strong. But if you think you're a natural person, then you're trying to keep the natural person strong while the spirit's starving to death. And that's where most people are. They're putting their attention on the natural. Well, I need to do this. I need to do this. I've got to feed this. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. And by the end of the day, there's no time for the spirit. And then if you sit down to read, you might go to sleep while you're trying. I'm going to tell you this right up front, that to walk in the Spirit requires an extremely disciplined life. Extremely disciplined life. It doesn't just happen. It's a conscious effort in order for this to occur. Know who you are. If you really get the revelation that I'm a spiritual being, just the revelation itself will cause you to pay attention to the Spirit. This is not who I am. This is the house I'm living in. But it's not who I am. In order to be led by the Spirit, we have to understand we're physical beings living in a spiritual house. Okay? We get that established first. Inward man, outward man. This house is called the body. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, now I want you to think about this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. So you and body or not one and the same. He didn't say, body, present your body. He said, you, and I could say it this way, spirit man, inward man, present the outward man. Spirit man, present the outward man. Spirit, present the body to the Lord. A living sacrifice. In other words, you're always set apart for God. Your life set apart for God. Holy. That's what it is. You understand? A living sacrifice. Holy. And if it's holy, it's acceptable to God. And that's your reasonable or logical service. I mean, if you just stop and think about it, I mean, God bought me. He paid for me. And I call Him my God. So then it wouldn't it be logical when He paid for my spirit and body? God, you do understand that He purchased both, the blood of Jesus, okay? So wouldn't it be logical for me to yield my body over to the service of the Lord? But the Spirit's the life of the body. That's you. So you determine whether God can use this physical man or if you're going to use it. Right? And a lot of people think, well, I'm my own man. Well, let's see where that gets you. Talk to me 100 years from now and see if you made a right decision. The people are deceived. No, we're people in here, spirit. This is a house, and we need to use the house wisely. Not only in Romans, but also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Matter of fact, why don't we just read that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's read the first 8 verses. I'm sure you've heard this, probably at a funeral. It'll work there too. Okay? But in verse 1 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, he says, for we know that if our earthly house, what would that be? Your physical body. For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now listen to this. For we who are in this tabernacle do groan. Now, who's he referring to? The spirit man. The spirit man who is in the physical house is groaning. Right? Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he who has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest or the pledge of the Spirit. Therefore, now listen to this, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body. So the body is a home. It's not the person. I live in a house. That house is not me. That house is vacant right now, I hope. You understand? I bring life to my house. My house can't give life to me. And a lot of people, here again, the world talks about the high life. They think the house is going to give you life. No, the house will kill you. If you just turn it loose and you don't pull the reins on it. You understand? So he says, for while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted by Him. Now, if you just look at that verse of Scripture, it's agreeing with 2 Corinthians 4:16, inward man, outward man. And so we must make a distinction that we the real you who should be standing up can't be seen with a natural eye and should control what can be seen with your natural eye. And I'm talking about the body. So the Spirit should control the body. Then turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 21. We'll begin with verse 21. Okay? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now look at this. "But if I live in the flesh, the physical, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, or between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Do you see the inward man, the outward man there? So who's the real you? When you look at these personal pronouns, they're not applied to the body. They're applied to the Spirit, aren't they? So then, you are a spirit. Now, my kids, when they were growing up, and sure is a witness to this, because I made them do this regularly. They had to say, "I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in the body." I bet they can tell you that today as many times as they had to say it, okay? So I'm a spiritual being. Okay? This is what I wanted to get instilled with them, into them. You are a spiritual being. Quit listening to the physical man and listen to the Spirit. The physical man will lie to you. That's fun. How many people have been killed having fun? Think about it. There's drug overdoses constantly right around you in the name of fun. And look where the fun's taking them. The Spirit leads to life. And the Spirit of God will never lead you to do something that's foolish. The Spirit of God will not lead you to destroy the body. God won't tell you to commit suicide. And yet you hear all kinds of idiotic statements people make, okay? You with me? Okay, I want to talk to you about the leading of the Spirit. One who's led by the Spirit then is guided from inside, not outside. Right? From the inside, not outside. Inside guidance is generally what people refer to as a conscience or an intuition, a hunch, gut feeling. You can put it whatever, inner voice, inner witness. There's all types of things. I say prompting. I've been prompted, you know. And these are various ways that we are led. These are internal guidances of the Spirit. Senses and reason relate to the outward. It does not. One who's led by senses or reason is not led by the Spirit. The Spirit does not lead through senses. The Spirit does not lead through reason. So get that established now. One of the ways you can learn what to do is by learning what not to do. And a lot of the things, and you know this as well as I do, a lot of the things that we know to do came from knowing what not to do. Right? It didn't work. Well, don't do it again. Learn from it. Profit from it. The Spirit does not lead through intellect, nor does the Spirit lead through emotions. He's going to lead you through inner voice, inner witness. It's going to come from the inside. Now, the church I grew up in was an extremely emotional church. And I remember growing up as a kid, I always equated things of the Spirit to emotion. And you miss it. You can have emotions and not be led by the Spirit. You understand? Some people are just emotional people. There are emotional sinners. Right? They're just emotional. If you don't believe it, go to a ball game. And you can find out that there's emotional people sitting in the crowd. Okay? And it's the same way in church. And listen to me. I'm not against emotion. God gave emotions. But He didn't give emotions to us to be stimulated by the flesh. Our emotions should be stimulated by the Spirit. So the emotion the initiation of emotion should come from the inside, not the outside. I've seen people dance to music, and I've seen people almost wear a hole in the rug dancing by the Spirit without music. One is being led externally, one is being led internally. One, when the music stops, they stop. The other, it doesn't matter if the music's going or it's not going, it's out of the Spirit. I suspect David, when he danced mightily before the Lord, was coming right out of his heart. You understand? Emotion stimulated by the Spirit on the inside of him. And he didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in him. We do. We're at an advantage, aren't we? So we're not to be led by intellect or by emotion. I know when the Lord dealt with me about the Bible college, He said this to me. He said, I do not want you to appeal to intellect, and I do not want you to appeal to emotion. I want you to appeal to the Spirit. I want this to be Spirit to Spirit. That's why it's called Spirit Training Center. God's Spirit training human spirits. God's Spirit trained in human spirits. You see, that's what God wants us to do. Then we'd be led by the Spirit of God. Right? If He's doing the training, indeed. We're going to talk about inner voice and inner witness. There's actually a distinction between these two, and we'll make that distinction a little bit later. But if you're led by the inside, you'll believe the inside more than you do the outside. What you'll say is your eyes are lying to you. Your ears are lying to you. Your feelings are lying to you. They're lying wonders, lying symptoms, lying circumstances if God's told you something differently. And a lot of people face that daily and don't even know it. And I can tell you this, if you're looking for outward things and outward signs, Satan will oblige you. If you read the Revelation, you're going to find out that's how many people are deceived with lying wonders. Supernatural things happening. And they think because it's supernatural, it's God. It's amazing to me how many people go to palm readers and spiritual advisors and stuff like this. And they say, well, they told me something that was true. I said, of course they did. Do you know what familiar means? Think about it. It's a familiar spirit. They are familiar with you. That spirit's familiar with the environment in which you live. That spirit is familiar with your family. So sure that spirit can tell you things. And if you don't know the Spirit of God, you can be duped by listening to that. Oh, well, he told me something. He didn't even know me, and he told me this. What does the Holy Spirit say? If you got the Holy Spirit in you, you're not going to these people anyway. I certainly hope not. I know you're not if you've been led by the Spirit. And if you have that kind of guidance, why would you go for an inferior guidance? They're not 100% accurate. And the Holy Spirit never misses it. I'll go with Him. Okay? So don't be duped by this outside stuff, being led to the outside. Well, that just sounded reasonable. Well, that's natural. How many of you know that sending a man in to lead a nation out of bondage is not reasonable? What nation is going to release their slaves and give up all that labor and all that production? I mean, that's destroying your economy. And a lot of people don't realize the magnitude of Israel leaving Egypt. And Moses was simple-minded enough that he goes in believing God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And then when God leads them out, right here to the Red Sea, that, naturally speaking, is uncrossable. Right? Those Israelites didn't walk on water, you understand. And how many of you know that it is an absolute impossibility for the waters to part for an entire nation to walk off across on dry land? See, God doesn't know that. But man, with his reasonable intelligence, says it can't be done. And it's amazing how some of these scholars try to talk about how shallow the water was and they walked across. But my Bible says dry land. And if there's water there, it's not dry. Not only did the waters roll back, but they weren't walking in mud. Think about that one. Does that appeal to your reason? Can you explain that? Of course you can. And you know what? I believe it because it bears witness to my spirit on the inside of me. So will I believe the reason, or will I believe the Word of God, which appeals to my spirit? And this Word is spiritual, you understand. Okay? And then He takes them through the wilderness, right up on the brink of the promised land. God didn't tell them to spy the land out. God told them to possess the land. They wanted to spy the land out. Don't just read Numbers. Go over and read the first chapter of Deuteronomy, and you'll find that the spies went in there at their suggestion, not God's. God just let them do what they wanted to do. And so they got in there, and now what they're saying is, what God has told us is unreasonable. He's told us to possess land with fortified cities and giants. We can't do it. I mean, look at those guys. We're like grasshoppers. See, they're looking at reason, except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb are locked into the Word of God. We are well able. What's the difference? These guys are looking outwardly. Joshua and Caleb are looking inwardly. They have a word from the Lord, possess the land. And they did. I love that Caleb's spirit told Joshua, give me the land with the giants. Moses said, I could have that mountain my feet walked on. That was the mountain where the giants were, Anak. And he took it at 85. You understand? Why? Perspective. Looking from the inside instead of looking from the outside. And God wants us to look from the inside instead of the outside. And it's really your perception of something. Howard and I went a few months ago back to a place where we lived at one time. And he talks a lot about that little branch that ran down by the side of the house and how he thought it was big. And we pulled up there, and he looked at it, and he said, it's amazing how small that is and how big that looked when you're when you're down here. It's a matter of perspective. New converts see things from a different perspective than a mature Christian. You understand? So the more mature you get in the Lord, or I could say it this way, the more you grow spiritually, the more your perception changes. And what seemed to be an insurpassable obstacle is a piece of cake. That's nothing to God. Because you grew spiritually. You listen to the Spirit. You start seeing things from the Spirit instead of looking at things from a natural perspective. That's what the Lord wants us to do. God's Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Don't listen to the reason. Don't listen to the intellect. Don't be moved by emotion. Oh, if we go in there, they're just going to kill us. No, keep your mind on God. God's knowledge is superior to reason. This is God's knowledge right here in the Word of God. This word is superior to men's reports, which will you believe? The one you spend the most time meditating in. Simple as that. And I can tell you this, the Spirit of God will always lead you in agreement with the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never lead contrary to the Word. I had a person to tell me one time that they said something. I said, well, I said, that doesn't agree with the Scriptures. They said, well, but God's shown me things beyond the Scriptures. I said, you're crazy. And they are. I mean, you might as well tell it like it is. Right? No, God will reveal Scripture to you. God will lead you in the parameters of the Scripture or by the principles of the Scripture. God is not going to violate the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is God. Right? So He'll always read in agreement with the Word of God. And many believers also fail to realize that God's Word is God's voice. How many times have people said, I'd like to hear God? I say, read your Bible. You want to hear God? Sit down and start reading and paying attention. Don't tell it what it says. You can talk to this or it can talk to you. And I've been guilty of talking to it this past week. I read one passage three different times. I said, you're not reading that. You're not reading that. Now go back and read it again. You didn't read that. Now go back and read it again. Go back and read it until it's talking to you and instead of you talking to it. So often because we know a Scripture, we just go right over that Scripture rather than letting God talk. And this is His voice. In John 10, Jesus said that His sheep know His voice. But He didn't stop there. He said they will not follow a stranger. They don't follow a strange voice. They know His voice. I could say it this way. My sheep know my word. And they won't follow anything contrary to my word. That's more profound than you think it is. They know my word. So anything that's not in agreement with my word, strange to them. You with me? They won't follow that. Any voices that you hear, any promptings that you get on the inside that are contrary to the Word of God are strange. Don't follow them. I hear things every day, don't you? Things come at you every day. And not everything is God. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard God doesn't love you. God could care less about you. God doesn't even know you're on the planet. Now, who do you think that's coming from? So what do you do to that? Do you start listening to that? Or do you get that thought out of your head immediately? You don't even dwell there. God doesn't love you. Thank you, Father, that you love me. I don't know why, but you do. I don't even know what you see in me, but I thank you that not only do you love me, but you even put your love in my heart by the Holy Spirit that you gave to me. You know, by the time you get through, the thought's gone. You're listening to this voice, not that voice. Because if you start meditating on that voice, and a lot of people do, a lot of ministers have ended up in mental hospitals, behavioral units, or with what people call nervous breakdowns, listening to the wrong thing. You're a failure. You might as well quit. Nobody on earth cares about you. I mean, if you died, that you wouldn't be missed. And they start thinking about it, start thinking about it, start thinking about it. And you know what happens? The conception will take place. That's dangerous. Because when there is a conception, unless there's an abortion, there's going to be a birth. A person didn't just wake up one day and commit suicide. They thought about it. You understand? It's dangerous to entertain those thoughts. They're contrary to the Word of God. And so when you're entertaining those thoughts, you're listening to a strange voice. You're actually violating the Spirit. You understand where I'm coming from? Okay? And I'm not talking about getting spooky out here with voices. If you want to hear voices, the devil will oblige you. I could say a lot about that. I was asked to go visit a person that was hearing voices, and they was checking me out and wanted to know if I believed in casting out devils and all that, and I said, sure. And I was asked if I would meet this person at this person's house, and I did. This man comes to the door, and he knows this person who's his friend, and then anyway, I was invited in, and I just cut through the chase and said, your friend tells me you're hearing voices. And he said, yeah. I said, would you like to get rid of them? He said, let me think about it. Now that shocked me. Now, that wasn't the response I was looking for, you understand? And so he talked on a little bit, and right in the middle of his conversation, him doing the talking, he said, I think I'll keep them. I said, well, there's no use in me wasting your time, or you wasting my time. I left him a card. I said, if you ever want to get rid of them, call me. I'm not going to play games with the devil. And if you want to hear voices that are not God's voice, then you open yourself wide open to the devil to destroy your life. But if you want to know truth, you can be liberated to know truth. Amen? Well, the sheep know His voice. Know the Word of God. I can tell you this, if you don't know the Word of God, it's not that you may be. I will guarantee you, you will be deceived. If you do not know the Word of God, you will be deceived. And people are being deceived week after week in church services because they don't know the Word of God. and things are coming forth from the pulpit that God didn't say. It's not God's word, it's not God's will, and people are following it and damaging their life. You better know the Word of God and have the Spirit of God. The Word of truth and the Spirit of truth keeps you out of deception. You're not going to deceive God. Remember the king sent his wife, Jeroboam sends his wife, you know, to see the prophet Ahijah, disguised. She gets to the door by the Spirit of God. He just says, "Come on in, wife of Jeroboam. You're not going to fool God. You may fool people, but you won't fool God. And if you're listening to the Spirit of God, you don't get fooled." That's why He wants us to be led by the Spirit. Well, I'm going to stop there. And what we'll do is talk about recognizing the Spirit. We're going to give you some basics on being led by the Spirit and things that I practice. Not that it's based on my experience. We're talking about it's the Word of God that I put into practice, okay? Which has helped me on a regular basis, is all I know how to tell you. On a regular basis, where to me it's important to include the Spirit in my life all day long and to listen. Be still and know. Sometimes you need to just shut up and stop thinking and pay attention. And I'll leave you with that.